This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Dustin Sweetelson with you from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. You can always catch us, SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. It's as good of a weekend as you're going to get in sports. We've got college football playoff action beginning on Friday. You've got NFL and college football games on Saturday, bowl games all over the place, a great college hoop slate, and of course, week 16 in the NFL as the playoff picture gets clearer and clearer. To help us break it all down, we're now going to go to the Progressive guest line, welcoming our buddy Harry Gagnon, former sportsbook supervisor. You know him, host of Against All Odds, the podcast. Get it wherever you get your podcasts. And also check him out over at BigAl.com with the breakdowns. And he joins us now on the Progressive guest line. Harry, before we get to your plays, talk to me about Thursday Night Football. Seahawks win 38-37 in overtime. McDonald just drops him on the table and goes for the win in overtime, going for two. What'd you think of everything that went down tonight?
It was just crazy. You know, it's 11 o'clock here in Phoenix where I live, Dustin. And I was set to take a little nap after it was 30-16 or whatever, or 30-14. I was ready to take a nap before I came on because I thought I had a lock on BigAl.com. I was 15-7 in my last 22 NFL picks. I was ready to – I had the Rams at a pick. I mean, to lose that game is just insane. The way the Rams just, the punt return was something else. But what a wild game on Thursday night, 38-37. Stafford goes for 400-plus, three touchdowns, and still can't get it done. Darnold throws the two picks. You think he's never going to win a big game in his life. Has like a third and a fourth chance to get it done. Goes down, gets the touchdown and the two-point conversion, and somehow Seattle wins with those crazy uniforms tonight. It brought them luck, I guess, because they pulled it out by one, and now they're in first place in the NFC West.
It's crazy. If I just chopped up the highlights of all of Matthew Stafford's throws and then gave you the highlights of all of Sam Darnold's throws, you'd be like, there's no way Sam Darnold is the quarterback who wins this game tonight. But they found a way, and it's a resilient win. It's a massive win for them, and as you mentioned, they are now in your one seed in the NFC. All right, let's get to some of your plays this weekend, and we'll go in the NFL. Things getting started on Saturday, man. I'm with you on this side. I took the Bears catching the 1.5. I'm not really concerned about the Odunze and Burden injuries. I feel like for Ben Johnson, he's kind of like rubbing his hands together, being like, oh, I get to throw stuff at you that you're not even expecting because you don't even know the formations we're going to use. So talk to me about Green Bay going to Soldier Field, where that number right now, it's Chicago minus 1.5 or 2, depending on where you shop, and the total's 46.5.
Yeah, I'm on the Bears, like you said. A couple weeks ago when they played, I was on Green Bay minus the 6.5. I was fortunate to get that game covered by the 0.5 point. But here in this spot now, look, Green Bay a few weeks back lost Kraft, who was a big loss. But even bigger loss is losing Parsons for the season. It's a lot to take in for the Packers. Chicago's got a great running game, as you know. They're second in the NFL in rushing. They're fourth in time of possession also, the Bears are. So keep that ground game going. Don't give the ball to Love. Keep it running. And Caleb Williams has been very good this year, very underrated in terms of his numbers. I know 58% completion percentage isn't great, but still, plus 18 touchdowns, if you include his rushing touchdowns, to interception ratio, plus 18. I think he gets it done. Manage the game correctly, Caleb. No screw-ups here. Let the running game do the job. Green Bay's that injury to Parsons is a crusher. I love the Bears this week to rebound after losing to Green Bay 2 weeks ago.
Harry Gagnon is our guest, former sportsbook supervisor, the podcast Against All Odds, BigAl.com for all of his game breakdowns. All right, I have been very anti-Denver all year, Harry. However, even I would admit, though, if they're playing Jacksonville at home, you lay it with the Broncos in this spot. I'm seeing 3 at DraftKings. I'm seeing some 3.5s out there, and Hard Rock has a 2.5 on Denver right now. You laid the field goal with the home team. Talk to me about why.
Yeah, look, I know it's a nice run by Jacksonville. 5 wins in a row, 6 of the last 7. And Lawrence, last 3 games, no interceptions and 9 touchdowns. But this game is against Denver. Denver's defense has been fantastic. They get fourth least yards in the AFC. They lead the NFL in sacks, Dustin, by 10 over Atlanta. Nick Bonito has been fantastic with 12.5 sacks for the Broncos this year. And Denver is 7-0 at home. They've won 12 in a row at home overall. And Jacksonville on the road, Dustin, look, they beat Tennessee. They beat Arizona in overtime. They beat the Raiders by 1 in overtime. And San Francisco, that was a nice win going all the way across country for that one. But the Niners were without Kittle. And by the way, I got a stat here for you, buddy. Teams that play the Jets the week after, they're 1-12 against the spread in the last 13.
It's crazy. That is freaking crazy. It's because it's like, what does that even mean? Like,
what does it mean?
It's the Jets. So how is it so consistently? It's not like you come out of that game and you're totally banged up. I don't know what that is. Harry Gagnon's with us. I don't know what he is either, but I love him. I love him. Former sportsbook supervisor at AAO Harry on X. All right, talk to me about a player prop. I think last time you were on, you gave me an anytime touchdown winner as well. We're going to go back to the well. Tampa Bay, Carolina, Bucs are 3-point favorites on the road. Total's 45.5. Who do you like to find pay dirt here?
Yeah, tough game to figure out here, right? Because it means the NFC South, whoever wins takes the lead in the division. But I'm going to go Mike Evans, anytime touchdown, plus 155. No doubt, Dustin, this has been a disappointing season for him. It's the first time he's ever going to not eclipse 1,000 yards in the season. He only has one all year. But I do have a feeling here where it's just knowing that this game means so much and what he's done career-wise against Carolina. He had two touchdowns in the last game they played last year. He scored in both touchdown in both games last year, and he's had in the last five games against Carolina, he scored in four of them. He's got seven total touchdowns in those five games. Give me Mike Evans to finally get back in to the end zone at plus 155 in a big game against the Panthers.
I love it. I love it. Let's go to the college football playoff. I'm fired up to see these games finally happen. I feel like we've been waiting so long. We've been talking about who got in, who shouldn't have got in. We're going to find out who belongs and who doesn't. And I'm kind of with you. I think James Madison may hang with Oregon for a little. Maybe not into the second half, but first half, first quarter, something to look at. How do you want to play JMU in Oregon with right now that number here at Circa has the Ducks laying 21 and a total of 47.5?
You know, I'm going to go under 24.5 in the first half. I think JMU is going to show that they do belong here. A lot of people say they don't. I get it all, that maybe they shouldn't be in there. Maybe they should have put Notre Dame in if things could have been different. But it is what it is. The Dukes are in. Oregon, I don't think, needs to go nuts considering – the week after this game, they don't want to show too much on the offensive side because they got to play all of a sudden defensive-minded Texas Tech in the Orange Bowl. So I think James Madison here plays tough in the first half. And by the way, their one loss this year, Dustin, was to Louisville, who beat Miami. And that game in the first half, the Dukes were winning over the Cardinals 7-6. That game went under. So I'm going under 24.5 first half again. Oregon doesn't show too much. Like you said, maybe they break away third, fourth quarter and really, you know, cover the 20.5. But in the first half, under 24.5. And how about this? I'll throw in a bonus for you. Wayne Knight, first touchdown of the game at 14-1. Not Newman of Seinfeld Wayne Knight, but Wayne Knight of the James Madison Dukes. He's got 190 carries this year. He leads the team in receptions. He had two touchdowns, first touchdowns this year. He had 10 touchdowns for the season. Wayne Knight at 14-1, and Dukes take a 7-0 lead right off the bat.
I love it. I love it. Harry Gagnon's with us, host of Against All Odds, is the podcast at AAO Harry on X and the website BigAl.com for all of his game breakdowns. Early game on Saturday, we'll have Miami taking on Texas A&M, this game at Kyle Field. Aggies laying 3.5, total is 48.5. How are we playing this, my friend?
I'll tell you, this is my favorite play of the college playoffs so far, Dustin, and I'm taking Miami, and I'm not taking the 3.5. I'm taking the plus 145, 150, whatever you can find on the money line. I think they catch a break. You mentioned they play this game early on Saturday. I think they catch a break playing it early in College Station. A&M had by far the easiest of SEC schedules this season. At home, they beat a bad Auburn team by just 6. And at the end of the season, as you know, South Carolina by 1 when they had to come back from that, who had only had 4 wins. On the road, they beat Arkansas by 3, and they gave up 42 points in that game, and they only had 2 wins, and they lose to Texas in their season finale. Miami's 2 losses were by a combined 9 points. I'm not a huge Carson Beck fan, but he does have playoff experience, and that's why he chose to go to Miami to be in this spot. He's there, so I think he gets them through this with the experience that he has. Big game, though. Big game, and the player of the game goes to freshman Malachi Toney. This guy is phenomenal. He scored a touchdown in his last 2 games, and, Dustin, in his last 2 games, 15 receptions, almost 300 yards. Malachi Toney gets it done. Carson Beck finds him. Miami wins this game straight up.
Yep, and they use him in the Wildcat now. They use him in the red zone as a runner. They make sure the Malachi Toney, the freshman, who I may be betting to win the Heisman next year, they get him the football when it matters. We get him on when it matters. He's Harry Gagnon. You can check him out on X at AAO Harry. Against All Odds is his podcast, and BigAl.com. Appreciate you as always, my friend. We'll chat again in a few weeks.
Thanks, pal. Happy holidays.
Have a great holiday, Harry. You're the best. Hey, reaching people is easy. Reaching the right people is everything. Mission Media, they help your brand do exactly that. Their cross-platform strategies hit fans wherever they're watching or listening. Podcasts, connected TV, streaming, digital, all of it. And because Mission Media is the exclusive advertising partner for VSiN, you get direct access to one of the most loyal, engaged, and bet-ready sports audiences in the country. These are fans who respond, engage, and convert. Visit vsin.com/advertise or email us at advertising@vsin.com to find out more and see if we can help your business.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's Cashing Out, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Thanks for hanging out with us, however you may be tuning in. SiriusXM 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. Still to come on the program, we're going to do our VSiN Morning Bet segment. I will run through all of the bets that I have placed this week, and I told you, the audience, I was going to dial it back this week. And much like my Monday diet success, where I only diet on Mondays and the rest of the week is a giant failure, I failed to live up to my word again. I placed way too many bets again. There's only so many weeks of football season that you could take advantage of what you think is an advantage. So advantage, probably said that too many times, but it's been a whirlwind of a show. My brain's foggy. In case you missed it, Thursday night football was crazy. Seattle wins it 38-37 in overtime. They tie it up in OT, and Mike McDonald says, I am not going to take the tie and give you the ball back. I'm going for the win. They went for the win. They convert. They get the dub. Seattle's your one seed right now. Seattle's the favorite in the NFC West at minus 135. And then Matthew Stafford, he goes from in-game at minus 1,200 at one point for MVP to now after the game, minus 225. Offensive player of the year, briefly after Puka Nacua goes for over 200 yards in the air, he was your favorite. He was 15-1 coming into the game. He's now plus 135 behind JSN, who's back up to the favorite at minus 160. That is a lot going on. A lot of craziness coming out of Thursday night football. And it's I feel like week 16 is only going to get crazier. So let's see if we can find some more winners along the way. And in this one game, there's a couple bets that I do like. The Dolphins made the change this week to go to Quinn Ewers. And let me be very clear about this. I don't even know what Quinn Ewers looks like, and I know he's an upgrade over Tua Tagovailoa, because Tua Tagovailoa, I don't believe, is even rosterable in the NFL right now. He can't make any of the throws, not all of the throws. We say that about a lot of guys. You know, he can't make all the throws, or he can make all the throws. Tua can't do anything. He literally looks like a high school quarterback out there. There is no oomph on his arm anymore. Yes, that is a technical term. Don't look it up. He has no drive, no power, and I think it's weird that all of a sudden, he now has like this edge where he's a bit angry when there's nothing to be angry about. You don't have it anymore. And they invested a draft pick in Quinn Ewers, who a lot of people are going to talk about what he looked like at Texas. And if you're going to do that, I understand why you may not like Quinn Ewers. I don't know what he's going to be. I'm very open-minded here. He may not be anything. He may be something. But the Dolphins would be doing themselves a disservice if they didn't find out going into this offseason when it's very clear Tua Tagovailoa is no longer the answer at quarterback. So Quinn Ewers takes over, taking on a Bengals defense that can't stop running backs and can't stop tight ends. So it should be a really good matchup for Quinn Ewers, who spoke with the media earlier today about the transition going from Tua to him today.
Last year, I was benched in the middle of a game last year. So, I mean, I know how he feels, and it's a bad feeling. But he's been, I mean, this morning we figured out, and even within these hours, he's helped me a ton. Obviously, because the guys are used to him being in there. So I have to do some minute things that some of his mannerisms in the cadence and how he shifts people and whatnot. And, you know, who shifts on themselves sometimes. But, I mean, he's been really helpful and in a tough situation, and I know a frustrating situation that he's in.
Quinn Ewers was a massive recruit who originally went to Ohio State. He graduated high school early. He wound up at Texas playing in that Sarkisian offense. He had high moments. He had low moments. I also think he was playing hurt a lot in his final season there in the college football playoff. He probably should have went back to school for one more year, but can we argue against how it worked out in his favor? He's going to start an NFL game this year with an audition and a chance to prove that he can do something. But more importantly, it's an audition for Mike McDaniel. Mike McDaniel has most likely saved his job. But if he shows something with Quinn Ewers, I think it makes it a little bit safer, gets him off the hot seat, and maybe he finds lightning in a bottle with Quinn Ewers and makes a run. I don't know if that's likely, but I'm intrigued by the +4 with Miami at home. I think that number has gotten way too long in this matchup with Cincinnati on the road. I don't really trust them on the road. Mike McDaniel, 5-2 to the under as a home dog, 3-1 against the spread coming off Monday Night Football. If you like Zach Taylor, he's 13-7 against the spread as a road favorite of 7 or less, 11-8 to the under. He's also 7-1 against the spread, 7-2 to the under, off a loss to a divisional rival. The two plays that I like in this game, I'm going with Devon Achane over receiving yards. I bet over 27.5. You just looked at Cincinnati's really bad at defending running backs, catching the ball in the backfield. They're bad at defending them running the ball as well. But I think in order for Ewers to get comfortable, it's going to be a lot of short stuff to guys like Achane, to Waddle, to Darren Waller, and that middle of the field where they like to run their running back in pass patterns. I think it's going to be there for Devon Achane. So I thought 27.5 was a little bit low. He can go over that in the first quarter. And then I'm going to go Darren Waller over 27.5 receiving yards. That's a bit riskier to me because you just don't know how Quinn Ewers is going to look pushing the ball downfield. But Cincinnati is historically the worst, like legitimately this year, the worst ever at defending tight ends. No one's ever been worse. They're like 30 yards worse per game to tight ends than the next team below them. And Waller's been pretty good. And we do see this at times with young quarterbacks. They have a tendency to work the middle of the field because they're not always sure of what's going to be there on the outside with an inability to see or anticipate those outer hash mark throws. And that's why the tight end becomes their best friend. I think the running back out of the backfield, the tight end over the middle, that's where Ewers is going to be looking in a matchup against Cincinnati that makes a lot of sense in this game. The Houston Texans, they are big-time favorites this week. But this is more of a conversation I want to have when it comes to big picture with Houston because they would scare me in the AFC. I don't think they need to lose either in order, you know, a lot of people think if you're on a winning streak, you want to lose before you get there. But Houston's 5.5-1 to win the AFC. I don't trust Denver as far as I can throw them. They're +280. Buffalo's great. I understand it because they have Josh Allen. If Josh Allen isn't pinpoint perfect, they can be beaten. That brings us to Houston and New England, 5.5-1, 6-1. Those would be the long shots I'd look at in the AFC. CJ Stroud, did you know over the last 8 weeks, he is the most efficient quarterback in the entire NFL? And they're big-time favorites this week against the Raiders. I think some of their running back props make sense, but this may be the last chance to get them 5.5-1 to win the AFC. It could shorten up the next week or two here as we close in on the end of the regular season. This is CJ Stroud saying this team never wavered, always believed they'd find a way to get it done.
People kind of lose their mind around the building. We know what we had. We knew what we had the whole year. My process hasn't changed. You know, it's just we're starting to finish better, close out games. So, I really never lost faith. You know, I think we're a heck of a team, and you know, just like everybody loves us now, they can hate us in a week. Like, so who knows? It doesn't really matter. So we're just focused as a team. We're focused on what we can control, and that's how we play each week. So, you know, whatever that looks like. So, you know, we're going to continue to have faith in one another and trust in one another and keep playing hard.
I love him. I love the way he's looked lately. I think last week was the most he looked like rookie C.J. Stroud. And I think against this Raiders team, it could be a real chance for this offense to get going. But at the same time, with so many bigger opportunities down the road, I don't think they put it on the Raiders. Now, they could cover the 14. That's mostly because I don't expect Las Vegas to score much. I like the under 38. I think Houston scores. If we get 13 out of the Raiders, I would be gobsmacked. I would be shocked if they get into 13. My max for them is probably about 10. Like, really, I don't think they're going to do much against this defense. Pete Carroll's just 3-7 against the spread this year with the Raiders. D'Amico Ryans, 11-4 to the under as a home favorite. He has never been a favorite of two touchdowns before this week, so we'll see how that ends up playing out for the Houston Texans. Now, the big boy on Sunday night is the Ravens and the Patriots. We're looking at that game right now. We have, I believe it was a 3-point spread last I looked. Let me just pull it up. Got my tabs all over the place. It's been a hectic night here on the program. 3-point spread. Baltimore's laying it. Total's 48.5. And Lamar Jackson yesterday missed practice. It was with an illness. I don't buy that he had an illness. If you go back and look at the injury report every week for the last few weeks, Lamar's been out. It's been a knee. It's been a hamstring. It's been an ankle, a calf. They're making it up. They're just making sure my man's fresh for when it matters. Now, are they going to end up coming up short, not making the postseason? We'll see about that. But he returned to practice today. The Patriots dealing with some injuries on their end. Carlton Davis didn't practice. Marcus Jones didn't practice today. Robert Spillane wasn't available for practice. And for Baltimore, they got healthier. Rashad Bateman did fully practice, as did Zay Flowers. Some trends for this matchup. Mike Vrabel, 5-1 against spread on the road this year, 6-0 straight up. John Harbaugh, 38-40 against the spread as a home favorite of 7 or less. Not great at covering that number. I like the over in this game. I could see us trading shots, especially with the injuries to the corners for New England. And I don't think Baltimore, run-wise, as much as Derrick Henry looks like he's getting going, that's one of the best run defenses in the league. I think we're looking at this thing opening up, a lot of big passes, and Drake May and Lamar Jackson going shot for shot. I lean over in that. Not an official play, but just my general vibe when it comes to that matchup there. The holidays may slow everyone else down, but not us here at VSiN. While you're celebrating or traveling or taking a rare day off, we'll be live all day, Christmas Day, wall-to-wall betting coverage. Your morning starts VSiN by the books, followed by a numbers game, a special edition of Live Bet Christmas, and in the afternoon and evening, we got you covered. Follow the money, VSiN primetime, cashing out. So even if your routine shifts, we got you covered. We've got NBA, NFL, and more. VSiN is your home for holiday betting coverage. How should we play the college football playoff? We'll break it down on the other side of Cashing Out.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back at it. It's Cashing Out, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. We've got a lot to get to here in the next 30 minutes. And the college football playoff, it is finally upon us. We no longer have to talk about who is in, who is out. This is our reality. Let's deal with it and let's find some freaking winners. To help us do that, our buddy Colby Dant's going to join us right now. You know him from the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, The College Experience, at the Colby D on X, and he joins us now. Dude, we're finally here, man. Like, there's been a lot of debate. There's been a lot of conversations. Everything's in the past. Army, Navy, the Heisman. This is what matters, and it feels like the pressure is going to amplify. So let's begin with Friday. Oklahoma taking on Alabama, and they have not been able to decide who the favorite is. It's never really gotten bigger than 1.5, 2. But right now, I'm seeing Oklahoma across the board, your favorite, 1, 1.5. Total is at 40.5 up to 41. How do you want to play this bad boy?
Yeah, look, I want to start this off by I was on these very airwaves, and I do own a ticket for Alabama to win the national championship back in June. We talked about this, or maybe it was July, but I can't ride it right now, man. I got to take Oklahoma. I don't think Ty Simpson's 100% healthy. I think their O-line the past 2 weeks against Georgia and Auburn just got obliterated. And then now they face an even better defensive line than those two teams. And then they're at Oklahoma's at home. They've lost only like seven games there in 12 years. So like then they're calling for this a night game. So it's going to be pretty cold. Thought I saw 34 degrees rumored for that kick. If that's the case, I just can't do it. They gave students the day off. Alabama's been too one dimensional all year. I'm surprised that they remind me of like an old Pac-10 team. They can't run the ball. They're very predictable offensively, even though they have elite skill players, which make them always dangerous. And then on defense, I don't think their rush defense is nearly as good as their numbers represent. They were in the late 50s before that game against Eastern Illinois week 14, whatever that was. So I think they cooked the books a little bit there. I don't think they're a very physical team. I know Oklahoma's offense has been terrible, but I like 2 weeks off for Mateer to get healthier. And I just love them at home in Norman, you know, in Oklahoma Memorial Stadium. Oh. So I'm going to take the Sooners to get it done here.
If that happens, Kalen DeBoer is going to regret not taking that Michigan job. I'll tell you that. He's going to be real butthurt about it. All right. Talk to me about James Madison and Oregon first, because I think this is the one where I'm hearing a lot of like Oregon smash them, lay the wood with the Ducks. And I understand that. I kind of want to do something weird with JMU. I think I might go first quarter plus 6.5. You and I focus on these small schools a lot. JMU loves punching up. Do you think they have any chance of hanging, or would you lay it with the Ducks?
Look, the hardest thing to I think this is the hardest of the playoff games because the state of the locker room with Chesney already, you know, recruiting at UCLA and stuff. But one thing I can tell you, and my co-host is a former JMU defensive back. So I've watched them very close, like really over the past 15 years. And one thing I'll say is they're like the most, one of the more physical brands of group of five / FCS football. So look, if you would tell me the coaching staff was intact, I would feel great about it. The coaching staff is intact, but you see the guy, I follow his Twitter page. He's out recruiting and stuff. But I'm still going to take the points because I think they're playing with house money. And also everyone I talk to is hammering Oregon. I just wish it was last year's JMU where they scored 70 at North Carolina. But one thing I think I think JMU is getting disrespected a little bit as far as who they are. This has been a great program. Like it's been coach proof, like five different coaches. And you can make an argument that JMU already won at Oregon because 80% of Indiana's team is JMU. So give me the 21. I got 21.5, but I'm saying I don't think they're winning the game or anything, but I do think they're a more respectable program than the narrative that's being pushed down by these talking heads everywhere.
Yeah. And there's an element of just Oregon. If they're up big, what's their incentive to keep laying it on? You don't earn style points at this point. In fact, you want to dial it back so that you can get on and be healthy in the next round. And for JMU, one chance at the playoff in the spotlight, you'll probably keep throwing from behind if you're Alonzo Barnett and company. He's Colby Dant, Sports Gambling Podcast Network. The College Experience is his show at the Colby D on X. All right, Tulane and Ole Miss. I don't have a play on this one. I keep thinking about the under just because now it's two defensive head coaches. I am, however, and you can tell me if you subscribe to this, I think Ole Miss is galvanizing. And I think Pete Golden's actually going to do a good job. I think they have a chance to win one or two games here in the playoff. They're 17-point favorites. The total's 56.5. What do you want to do here?
See, this is the one where if you're looking for the dog that I think is live, for me,
ooh,
I see your angle because we've never seen Pete Golden coach before. But to me, the thing I love a team in general, and I know I'm breaking that with the Alabama thing, but Alabama has to go to Norman. The first game was in Tuscaloosa. Tulane's going back to a place they already lost, and they lost big.
That's true.
I think they're like, when you add in the fact that they're both kind of in the same position, as far as like, you know, their coaching, their coaches left, but you have Sumrall staying. They hired from within with Will Hall. And I also think Ole Miss got them at the perfect time before. They had already beaten Northwestern in the opener by 20, a bowl team from the Big Ten. Then they had a rivalry game week two. Then they had Duke, who ended up being the ACC champ. So they got them at the final stretch of that. I like them to really focus on this, playing with house money. The team, to me, is much more intact. Ole Miss barely beat Washington State, who's a 6-6 team, at this same very stadium. So I don't know the state of Ole Miss's locker room. I feel like Tulane's happy with Will Hall as the next head coach there. Summerall's even given money back. I'm going to take a shot. I'm taking the points, man, because I believe that outing that we saw in week four wasn't really Tulane. I think Tulane's a better team than that performance then.
I will never disparage the name of Will Hall. Will Hall is my guy going back to the Gulf South Conference. He's a Harlan Hill winner, which is the Heisman equivalent at Division II. And I think he got a raw deal at Southern Miss where they didn't really know how to spend their money. And now he's going to run with Tulane. I think Will Hall is going to be an SEC coach one day. Colby Dance with us, Sports Gambling Podcast Network, at the Colby D on X. All right, I saved it for last. I'm a Miami fan. I'm terrified, man. I've heard so much talk about A&M. I've heard so much talk about Cristobal. I don't know how this game goes. My vibe is it's going to be low scoring. I bet the under 51.5 when it came out. You tell me, should we lay the three with Texas A&M or should we take the three with the Hurricanes?
Look, I'm sorry, buddy. I got to lay it. I called for A&M to get to the playoffs. I cashed that ticket. It was disappointing, the Texas game, because I thought they would get them this year. But to me, you're giving an elite coach 2 weeks, Mike Elko, against Cristobal. And then you add in to me, what is the strength of Miami? If you had to pinpoint the top thing they do is probably their D line. I think A&M's O line can neutralize that. And I still have my questions with the Miami secondary. There's been certain games where they've had issues, especially and also go back to the Louisville game. Louisville had success on the ground against them. Well, A&M can run the ball. Now, if you're looking for your case on how you win this game, it's Marcel Reed's youth. He makes a lot of questionable throws sometimes, but if I'm Elko, you've had 2 weeks to focus on this. I limit how aggressive you are with Marcel Reed. I think you're going to have the edge rushing the ball. And I think defensively with that crowd behind you, you'll have the edge as well. So I'm laying the three. I don't mind that underplay though, that you said.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I don't have a good feel for the side. I could see it going either way, which is why I went under. I just think both defenses dictate how this game goes. We got a bowl game on Friday. What is it? The Myrtle Beach Bowl, I believe it is. I get all of them confused at this point. Kennesaw State and Western Michigan. I actually like both of these teams a lot. We got two conference champs meeting up, Sun Belt versus the MAC. And right now, Broncos laying three. Your total's 47.5. Who do you like here?
Oh, I like Kennesaw State, and I think it's a money line play right here. Look, first off, I like taking these teams. I know Missouri State got drilled, but that's a different scenario because their coach left. I cashed on Delaware, yesterday. These FCS, these recent FCS schools that have never played in a bowl game. I love that angle. I also love the fact Jerry Mack coached, you know, great year one at Kennesaw State, winning the CUSA. I think some of their fans, you know, will make the trip. That's not a far trip from Kennesaw, Georgia, to see the first ever bowl game for Kennesaw State. So I think they'll have the home edge. And I just thought they were the better team all year. Western Michigan, Lance Taylor did a good job, but I think Kennesaw State's they almost beat Wake Forest. They probably should have. They missed a chip shot field goal and missed an extra point. That's the only reason why they lost that game. And Wake Forest was pretty good in the ACC. So I like Kennesaw to win that thing outright.
And what's weird is it's two running teams, but I have a weird vibe for the over just because they're explosive running teams, but I'm going to stay away from the total. I just saw 3.5 out there. I just took it with Kennesaw State. I'm with you. He's Colby Dant. Check him out. Sports Gambling Podcast, The College Experience, at the Colby D on X. Hey man, I'm not going to be here next week. I appreciate you doing this every week. We're going to keep doing it, and I hope you have a great holiday with the family.
Hey, likewise, brother, and Merry Christmas and happy holidays to you, your family, and friends. So, thank you so much.
Great dude. Great dude. See, we have a community here. We got people that we like. I try to have people on that I genuinely like. That dude became a friend immediately when he first came on the show. We just became obsessed with Temple football. I mean, if you're going to talk about Casey Keeler, instantly it's stepbrothers. Did you just become best friends? We did. All right, we'll have more on the college football playoff and week 16 in the NFL. All the best bets are coming up on the other side of Cashing Out.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Cashing Out rolls on from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. It has been a whirlwind of a show. In case you're just joining us, Thursday Night Football was bonkers. I'm sorry if you missed it, because it was billed as the game of the year. It was the game of the year. Seattle wins 38-37 in overtime. They have a chance to either tie it up at 37 or go for the win and go for two in OT. Mike McDonald just drops them on the table. He's like, yo, I'm here. We're the one seed. Boom, they convert. They are the one seed. They're your favorite in the West. And a lot of implications in the awards market. Matthew Stafford, who opened today as minus 300 for MVP, ballooned up to minus 1200 in game as the Rams led 30-14 at one point in the fourth quarter. Seattle comes back and wins, scoring 16 points in the fourth quarter. And then Puka Nacua, he has over 200 yards receiving. He goes from 15-1 to your offensive player of the year favorite, laying a number. He's now a slightly plus price JSN back to minus 160 as your favorite, but it appears they're going to go back and forth the rest of the way. However, I think some comments off the field from Puka Nacua, not just earlier this week, but after this game on social media, may play a role in him not winning that award. But that's where we stand with that. Week 16 has begun. We'll do a preview, all the games, all the bets that I like in a little bit. But first, let's talk bowl game, because we've got the Myrtle Beach Bowl coming up on Friday. Kennesaw State taking on Western Michigan. MAC winner versus the Sun Belt winner. They both want to run the football. They both finished top 20 in rush attempts. And Kennesaw State head coach Jerry Mack is staying. I'm blown away by that. I really didn't anticipate him staying. I thought he was going to parlay what he did this year, winning the Sun Belt, into a big job. But he's going to be with the Owls. They know he's their head coach. And I think they're going to play hard for him. In terms of players missing this game, you know, a corner for Kennesaw State has opted out. They have a couple of dudes in the portal. One, a backup quarterback. Two, a corner who's pretty good in Jericho Washington, but apparently he's going to play in the bowl game. Also for Western Michigan, one of their running backs, Kirby Voorhees, he is not expected to play. He is transferring. Jalen Buckley has a hand injury. He looked great in the MAC title game, though. We cashed a couple of ladder props on him when we were on Live Bet Saturday that day. But looking at this matchup, I like Amari Odom, the quarterback for Kennesaw State, a lot. Brock Lowry's fine for Western Michigan, but when Odom plays, Kennesaw State wins. 9-2 straight up this year when he's healthy and playing. He's a dual threat, but a decent thrower as well. 2,300 yards, 67%, 25 total touchdowns, 6 interceptions. I think they're a little bit more explosive, Kennesaw State, so I took the 3.5 with them on Friday. Now, the big boy on Friday is Alabama and Oklahoma. The last meeting between these two, 23-21 in Tuscaloosa. Now we're going in Norman. And looking at the odds in this one, it keeps flipping, man. We opened Alabama -1.5. Then books were split. Some had Oklahoma favored. Some had the Tide favored. Now across the board, the market is telling you Oklahoma is a slight favorite of 1 to 1.5 points. The total opened at 40.5. And I'm seeing 41. I'm seeing 141.5 out there. I don't love that because I bet under 41 as soon as this came out. But I love the under 41. Bama's last four FBS opponents. This is their offensive output. 7 points, 27 points, 21 points, 20 points. That's 18.75 per game. Take it on an Oklahoma team that's 10-2 to the under this year. Alabama finished 8-5 to the under this year. Alabama 2-0 to the under as a dog this season. Oklahoma is 6-1 to the under at home. Kalen DeBoer is 2-6 against the spread as a road favorite at Alabama, 1-7 when a favorite of 7 or less in that role. He is 11-4 to the under when he's playing an SEC team. Brent Venables, 0-2 against spread as a home dog of 7 or less. Venables, 7-1 to the under when he's coming off of a bye. Give me an under. Neither team's going to run the ball well. I think throwing is going to be very difficult for Alabama on the road. Mateer's legs could play a role, but I'm not anticipating a lot of big-time explosive plays from either offense. I think we're looking at maybe a 21-13 game, something like that. So what's that put us at, 34 points? Yeah, I think we're staying way under this total of 41 there. Now, we have some other college football playoff games to look at. We've got Ole Miss taking on Tulane. And right now, that number's up to 17.5, a one-point move up the opener of 16.5. Total's 56 and a hook. I kind of like the under. It's not an official play, but if I was betting it, I would go with the under here because you got John Summerall, Tulane head coach, on his way out, coaching the team in the playoff. Ole Miss, Pete Golding, he is a guy, look, he has had to do it the hard way. He's the antithesis of Lane Kiffin, and he's a defensive dude, and he's known for having great defenses. I kind of like the under. As Tulane likes to run the football, they're not as great throwing the football. I think the Ole Miss defense comes to play, and for Ole Miss, if they're up big, I'm not sure there's incentive to put it on them. John Sumrall, 0-3 against the spread versus the SEC. He is 2-1 to the under. Pete Golden's first time as a head coach, but I just think you got two defensive coaches technically going at it. Give me the under, 56.5 there. Oregon and JMU is a real conundrum. I think Eugene's going to be insane. I don't know if Bob Chesney is distracted. We're seeing this number move. We opened Oregon minus 21, 50.5. Total's down to 47.5. And now we're seeing the spread move a little bit, just a half point to 20 and a hook. Bob Chesney's 2-0 against the spread as a road dog of 10.5 to 21. Dan Lanning, 2-3 covering the number as a home favorite of 14.5 to 21. 4-1 to the over. But I kind of like JMU early. I'm thinking about the Dukes plus 6.5 in the first quarter. You know, Dan Lanning's really good in the first half, especially as a favorite, 32-15 against the spread. But I went and looked. As a home favorite of 14.5 to 21, he's only 2-3 against the spread. So that tells me sometimes it takes him a little bit of a rhythm to get going against some of these lower level teams potentially that he's supposed to put it on. And I think JMU will come in hyped up, but maybe runs out of steam later. So that is my lean there. And then I love the under in Texas A&M and Miami. I'm a Miami fan. I've watched this team all year. I think they're very much a team built on defense and running the football, and they want to limit possessions because if they have too many possessions, that leads to Carson Beck turnovers. A&M's laying 3. The total's 48. I would lean Miami because I do think they can win the game, but it's Mario Cristobal. You just never trust him in a big spot. I think the under ends up being the way to look in this game. Cristobal's 5-3 to the under off of a bye in his career. Miami 7-5 to the under this year. A&M slightly to the over by most metrics, but I do think there's going to be a tough matchup against a front for Miami that's going to put pressure on Marcel Reed to make plays, and he hasn't seen two edge rushers like Miami's going to throw at him. So I think the under ends up getting home in an early game. Could be a sluggish start, 11 a.m. local time. I don't love that, but I do think that's the way that game goes there. In terms of the NFL this week, here are the sides and totals that I like. First, the sides. I laid the 6.5 with the Lions taking on the Steelers. It's just a combination of events that I want to bet on. One, fade Pittsburgh off of a win. Take Detroit off of a loss. We've seen it over and over again with the Lions. Dan Campbell dominates coming off of a loss. I don't have the numbers in front of me right now. It's somewhere in my notes. Let me pull it up real quick. Dan Campbell off of a bye. No, not Johnny Campbell, my associate producer. Dan Campbell, 24 and off a loss. 24-10 against the spread off of a loss. I just see him in a rebound spot with the season on the line, covering the 6.5. I paid minus 120 juice for it. I didn't buy the hook, but I just saw it posted there over here at Boyd Sports. So I laid it with the Lions. I took the Bears plus 1.5 against the Packers. I just think Ben Johnson's going to be in his bag, and Matt LaFleur really struggles in that road favorite role. LaFleur right now in his career is 11-17 against the spread as a road favorite, and I think Ben Johnson at home gets it done. It may be ugly, may not be pretty, but he can exploit Micah Parsons not being on the field for them. I'm also looking at the Chiefs and Titans. I went under 37.5 there for the game total. Sean McDermott's 14-5 to the under. I'm sorry, wrong one. Andy Reid. Andy Reid is, I don't have any trends on that, but it's Gardner Minshew starting at quarterback. And I don't think the offense is going to look in sync against a Titans team playing at home, a defense that's a little underrated. And I don't think Tennessee is going to do anything offensively against Kansas City. So I think it's going to be tough sledding for both offenses there. So I like the under in that matchup. In terms of Bears and Bills and Browns, I like the under 41.5 there. I just think for Buffalo, they're not going to be able to hit big plays against this Cleveland defense, especially on the road. So they're going to dictate the style of the fight. McDermott's 14-5 to the under versus the AFC North, 44-30 to the under on the road. And I think Stefanski, 11-5 to the under as a home dog. Shador's going to have a difficult time, I think, scoring and finishing drives. He may move the football against this Buffalo defense, but I think in the red zone, they'll bow up and keep them out. So I think points are going to be at a premium. I went under 41.5 there. Now, in terms of player props, I have a lot of them. Aaron Jones, over 53.5 rush yards going up against that giant front. That's really bad at stopping the run. Three bets in Dolphins and Bengals. Devon Achane over 27.5 receiving yards. Darren Waller over 27.5 receiving yards. Chase Brown over 51.5 rush yards. In Patriots and Ravens, I went Travion Henderson over 12.5 receiving yards. Jaguars and Broncos, Brenton Strange over 39.5 receiving yards. Dallas Goedert over 38.5 receiving yards going up against the Commanders. And then finally, DK Metcalf over 59.5 receiving yards against the Lions. They'll be trailing, and he will be able to pick up some chunk yards against a beat-up secondary for the Lions. That'll do it for us here on Cashing Out. It has been a wild ride. I appreciate you hanging out with us all night long. Don't forget, you get your day started 7 a.m. Eastern here with VSiN by the Books, followed by a numbers game with Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidlin. And then you got prop points with the guru, John Hansen. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. I'll see you next time on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.